Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Chagiga is daf Gimel, second daf in the Masechta. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Belonah Zecher Nishmas Losu Ben Zaltzman. Mitzvah that we discussed yesterday, we're going to continue discussing today for about half the daf, and then the other half is Agadata, is mitzvah of Re'iyah. Torah says that every year, every yantif, every regal, there's a mitzvah incumbent upon every Jew to go up to Eretz Yisrael, to go up to Yerushalayim, to go up to Har Habayis, to continue going up to the Azara, and be seen in the Azara. That is the mitzvah of Re'iyah. As we mentioned yesterday, the Rambam associates the mitzvah of Re'iyah with the mitzvah of the Olas Re'iyah. Not only do you have to be seen, but you also have to bring a carbon as well. The Shitas Rambam, which we mentioned yesterday, just quickly to review today, the Shitas Rambam is that if you go up to the Azara, but you come in empty-handed, so you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Re'iyah. There's a connection between the mitzvah of Re'iyah and Olas Re'iyah. It certainly sounds that way from Tosos yesterday. Tosos we saw yesterday in Daf Bezim et al, the first Tosos, who says that that's what our topic of a discussion is, meaning HaKoch HaYavim B'Re'iyah, when the Mishnah says that everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah, what is the mitzvah that we're talking about? So Tosos says that we're talking about the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel and Olas Re'iyah, going up to Yerushalayim, going up to the Azara, and also the mitzvah of bringing the carbon oil as well. So it certainly sounds that way from Tosos as well. Rashi, you can make an argument. Inconclusive, but you can make an argument that Rashi separates the two. Rashi simply says that the Mishnah is talking about the mitzvah of Alila Rego, and that's it. Okay, we pointed to Tosus yesterday. Tosus asked a number of questions on Rashi. Okay, either way, but certainly in the very least, we know that we are discussing the mitzvah of Alila Rego, and the mitzvah of Alila Rego is incumbent upon every male. That's what the Torah says. And then we talk about the exemption. So a number of people are exempt from the mitzvah of Alila Rego. So the Mishnah gave a number of them. So the first grouping of exemptions that the Mishnah told us was Chereshot V'Katan. Chereshot V'Katan, a deaf mute, someone who is insane, someone who is a minor, who is, you know, currently not in a state of Das, but eventually will be. So they're exempt from the mitzvah. And as Rashi pointed out yesterday in the Mishnah, they're exempt from all mitzvahs. Meaning it's not the specific exemption to the mitzvah of Re'iyah, they're exempt from all mitzvahs. And Tumtum and Jagunas Nashim Ba'avadim, She'inim Meshucharim. Then there's another list of exemptions, and that's gender-based exemptions. The Mishnah says someone who is either gender-confused, either because they know or they don't know whether or not they're confused. I know that's funny. But remember, we discussed this yesterday. Tumtum is somebody who doesn't know what their gender is. There's a membrane over the genitalia, so they don't know. And Jargonus is someone who has demonstrative both set of genitalia, so they are gender-confused. And women and slaves who aren't freed. So they're going to be exempt as well, because again, the mitzvah is only for males. The next set of exemptions is just reviewing the Mishnah. Chiger, someone who is someone who can't walk. So in order to be chayav the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, it's intuitive. You have to be able to walk. In other words, you have to be Ola B'Regel. You have to walk with your feet. And if you cannot walk with your feet, so you have an exemption. Suma, someone who's blind. Chola, in other words, by the way, mind you, that what does that mean? It means that in general, the Summa is obligated mitzvahs. That's something that we discussed a number of times throughout Shas, whether a blind person is exempt from the mitzvahs or not. But sounds like from our Mishnah that that generally speaking, they're obligated, but they have a specific exemption from the mitzvah of Alila Regel. Chola v'azakim, someone who's sick, someone who's elderly. Again, the issue seems to be that they can't walk on their own, and therefore they are going to be exempt. And then the Mishnah just simply sums it up, Mishayna Yachol Alos Baraglav. Okay. And then the Mishnah points out that there's a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We know there's a mitzvah of chinuch. At what point do you have to mechanach your child in the mitzvah of Re'iyah? So machlokus Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, exactly what developmental stage the child has to be in order to be a mitzvah of chinuch. And then finally the Mishnah wraps up by another machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, how much you be spending on your karbonos, on your carbon ola, and on your carbon shlamim / chagiga. Okay, which we're going to come back to later. Okay, Adkan, that takes us just as a quick review of yesterday's Mishnah. The Gemara yesterday, the first half of yesterday's daf was dedicated to what the word hakol is coming to include. Hakol is an inclusive term. Who are we coming to include? The Gemara made three suggestions yesterday in terms of people who you might have thought been on the bubble. I mean, somewhere not in the realm of obligated, and then the Gemara made arguments that any one of these three candidates can be included. And then we talked about a cheresh. The second half of yesterday's daf dedicated itself to the topic of cheresh. Cheresh in general, someone who's both a deaf and a mute. Someone who's both a deaf and a mute, the Gemara's assumption is, the Chachamim's assumption is that person does not have cognitive ability, And because he has not have cognitive ability, exempt from mitzvos. That's generally speaking what a cheresh is. If you have one of the abilities, if you have either the ability to hear or the ability to see, Right, if you have the ability to hear or the ability to speak, either one of those two, so then, as we learned yesterday, the Gemara quoted a brisa, you're pikech l'chol davar, you're considered like you have cognitive ability, and therefore you're obligated to know the mitzvos in the Torah. However, the Gemara pointed out that with a loss of one of those abilities, either to speak or to hear, you're going to be exempt from the mitzvah of re'iyah, which was strange. We didn't explain why yesterday. We're going to give some explanation today, which is strange if you think about it, because what do you mean? He's now, if he has one of the abilities, so that means that he's a pikeach, and therefore he should be obligated. And the brisa we quoted yesterday says that if you are a medaber ben a shomer, shomer ben a medaber, you're potter, you're going to be exempt from the mitzvah of re'iyah. And why should that be? So that we're going to be discussing today. In fact, that's the first topic which we're going to be covering today. And then, one other point to review, and then we're going to start today's daf, and that is that the mitzvah of simcha. The mitzvah of simcha means that on Yantiv, there's a mitzvah to be happy. Right? The Vilna Gaon says the most difficult mitzvah in all the Torah, to be consistently happy for 7 days straight. Try that. It's hard. Correct. That's a good point. That's a good point. I accept that. Okay. 7 days, 7 consistent days of being happy. So anyway, so there's a mitzvah of simcha, and that this person is chayav. Meaning, this person who either lacks the ability to hear or to speak, even though he's pikeach l'chol davar. Wrong introduction. Because he's obligated all the mitzvahs in the Torah, so therefore he's also obligated the mitzvah of simcha. Okay, and so why is he exempt from the mitzvah of re'iyah? That needs explanation, and that's what we're going to start with today's daf. We started in today's daf on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. We are 4 lines from the very top of the Amud. Mishna. Gemara's question over here, very straightforward question. What's the difference? Meaning, we're talking about somebody now who can either hear but does not speak, or speaks but does not hear. And we said that person is exempt from the mitzvah of re'iyah. So Mishna in re'iyah de p'tiri. So the Gemara's first question, very straightforward, why is he exempt from the mitzvah of re'iyah? Or Mishna in simcha de mechayve. And why is he obligated in the mitzvah of simcha? Okay, good question. Right, good, let's go. So so le'ingeria gamar re'iyah mehakel. So the Gemara starts off like this. In terms of the mitzvah of re'iyah, so we have a gemar, a limud. We're going to basically say it's a gzeir shava from the mitzvah of hakel. Mitzvah of hakel coming up in the parshios, right, at the end of the 7th year, right, in 2 short weeks from now. It's unbelievable. In 2 short weeks from now, we're going to be starting the Shemitah year. So at the end of the Shemitah year, meaning the Sukkos after the Shemitah year, so there's a mitzvah of hakel. So once every 7 years. So what happens is that on Sukkos, we all get together, anashim, anashim, ataf, men, women, and children, and we go up to Yerushalayim, we go to the Azara, and we hear the king read from the Sefer Torah. Specifically, he reads from Sefer Devarim. Okay, that's the mitzvah of hakel. And it says regarding hakel, the chsev hakel, so am anashim, anashim, ataf, uksiv, bevoko yisrael liros. So, uksiv, bevoko yisrael liros. So here we have the key word by the mitzvah of hakel, and that's re'iyah. It says by the mitzvah of hakel, uboko yisrael liros. So you have the word re'iyah by hakel. Period. So now we have a link between the mitzvah of re'iyah, the mitzvah of re'iyah being seen in the Beis HaMikdash, and we have the same word re'iyah by hakel. Okay, so now we have the connection between the two. Now what we need to establish is that by the mitzvah of hakel, you have to, in order to be chayv in the mitzvah of hakel, you have to both speak and hear. The Gemara's next point. V'hasam inalan, and how do we know by that mitzvah of hakel that you need both the ability to speak and to hear? So dechsev l'man yishma'u u'l'man yomadu. So we have a pasuk by hakel that says so that you can hear. Okay, that's pretty clear that you have to have the ability to hear. U'l'man yomadu, and you also have to have the ability to speak. Now, on this point, we could slow down a little bit. I'm sorry, Vitanya. Let me just read 2 more lines. L'man yishmu pratla medaber v'eno shomea. U'l'man yimudu pratla shomea v'eno medaber. Okay, so the yishmu obviously is excluding somebody who cannot hear, even if he could speak. But if he cannot hear, he's not chayv in the mitzvah of hakel. And yimudu is pratla shomea v'eno medaber. If you can hear but you can't speak, so therefore you're also going to be exempt because of the pasuk l'man yimudu. Okay. Now we could slow down just a little bit. I certainly understand the first exemption. The first exemption is pretty clear. The Torah says, in order to be chayv in the mitzvah of hakel, you have to hear. Okay, so if you can't hear, you're not obligated in the mitzvah of hakel. The second exemption is a little bit difficult to understand. It says that, well, if you can't speak, you can't learn. That's not necessarily true. Meaning, if you have the ability to hear, even if you can't speak, you could still learn. You can go to shir, you can listen to shir, and you can do that repeatedly again, 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 and you're going to know things. So, and the Gemara is bothered by this very question. L'meimer d'chilo mishar lo gamar. What does that mean? If you can't talk to somebody, you can't learn? If you don't have the ability to speak, you can't learn? That can't be. Gemara tells a story. It's anecdotal, but still, it's going to make the point. And that is that there were two mutes who lived in the community of Rebbe, and they were either the grandchildren of Yochanan ben Gudgadah, family b'nei achte de Rav Yochanan, or some say they were his nephews. Either way, two mutes. They would go to shir every day. And they would sit in front of Rebbe. And they would shake their head, meaning they clearly knew what was going on. And they would move their lips, meaning they're mute, so they couldn't speak. But to the best of their ability, they tried to articulate the words. And Rabbi Rachme Alayev Itse, and Rabbi had such rachmanus for them. He asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Could you please cure them?" And they were cured, and they were then given the ability to speak. Vishachech Dava Gamiri. And now, after all those years of sitting in shir, listening to Rabbi give shir, and they didn't, and they never talked. They couldn't talk. They were mute. And meanwhile, all those years, what happened? Finds out now that once they regained the ability to speak, Gamiri, Hilchasa, Sifra, Sifrei, they knew halacha. They knew the midrashim. When I say Midrashim over here, I mean Midrashay Halacha. Right? The Sifrei. Sifra is going on Vayikra, Sifra is going on by Midbar and Dvarim. V'kulu HaShas, and they knew all Shas. In other words, they knew everything. They were totally fluent in all the Torah. So, question begs itself. Right? We were talking earlier about the exemption of Hakel. And we said that Laman Yishmu is exempting someone who can't hear, and Laman Yilmadu is exempting someone who can't speak. But the first exemption we understand. The second exemption now doesn't make any sense. If you can't speak, you can learn. You could for sure learn. And the Gemara quoted an incident, an anecdotal, but still, certainly we understand the point. You could speak. You don't have to speak in order to be able to learn. So how does Laman Yilmadu come to teach us that, oh, in order to be Chayav and Halkel, you have to be able to speak? What do you mean? You can listen. You can go there, you can listen, you can hear, you can learn, and you don't have to speak. So that is difficult. So the Gemara answers like this. Amar Marzutra Karibe Laman Yilamedu. So Marzutra says that the way we're going to read the Pasuk is not Laman Yilmadu, but Laman Yilamedu. What is the difference between Yilmadu and Yilamedu? Yilamedu means they're going to teach others. Okay? You could be fluent in all of Torah. You could know all of Torah, but with the inability to speak, so you cannot communicate it to others. That's the drasha. That's how we know that if somebody cannot speak, that's he's going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Hakam. Okay. So Laman Yilamedu. And Ravashi says, let's just finish up with Ravashi's point. And Ravashi says, he's right, Marzutra's right. Here we go. Ravashi Amar Vade Laman Yilamedu. Ravashi says, yes. Because Isa Gadach Laman Yilamedu. So because let's go back to our original proposal. That really the Pasuk is to be understood, meaning, again, we're not arguing about how the Pasuk is actually read. We know how the Pasuk is actually read. We're just talking about how to understand the Pasuk. If you understand the Pasuk of Laman Yilmadu, the Kevin Dlomi Shailo Gamar, and if the assumption was that if you can't speak, so then you can't learn, again, that's all ifs. But if that were the case, the Kevin Dlomi Shailo Gamar, Haim Laman Yishmu Nafka. So if you can't hear, you can't learn. So we already got that for Laman Yishmu. Meaning that at this point in time, Laman Yilmadu would be totally superfluous. Meaning, if the whole point of the Torah is, well, if you can't learn, then there's no point in going to Hakel. So I got that from Laman Yishmu, because Laman Yishmu tells me that you have to be able to hear so that you can learn. If the assumption was Laman Yilmadu means you can't learn, but that we already got from Laman Yishmu. So Elavad Laman Yilamedu. So it must be that the Laman Yilmadu is teaching us an additional point, and that is, even if you can learn, you're still going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Hakel because you cannot communicate it to others because the correct understanding is Laman Yilamedu. Period. So that basically now brings us to the end of this point. Let's just quickly summarize. So again, the mitzvah of not Hakam. We'll start with the mitzvah of Riyah, because that's our topic. The mitzvah of Riyah requires that one goes up to the Azara and being seen in the Azara. And now we're talking about those who are exempt. So interesting that two categories of people who are exempt are people that can hear but cannot speak, or people that can speak and cannot hear. They're exempt from the mitzvah of Riyah. Now, even though, as we learned yesterday, the pikech l'chodavar, they have cognitive ability and therefore are obligated in all the mitzvahs of the Torah, they're exempt from the mitzvah of Riyah. The question is why, but the answer is, we just saw in the Gemara, because the link between Re'i and the mitzvah of Hakel. In the mitzvah of Hakel, you also have the word Ra'ah, so you have Gzeres Shavah between the two, and the Gzeres Shavah teaches us that whoever is exempt from the mitzvah of Hakel is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Re'i. And who is exempt from the mitzvah of Hakel? So the Gemara says, you have to have both the ability to speak and to hear. L'man Yishmu and L'man Yilmedu tells us that you have to have both. If you're missing one of those abilities, you're exempt from the mitzvah of Hakel. Laman Yishmu is excluding someone who can't hear. Laman Yilmedu, the way we're going to understand it now, is Laman Yilamedu. You have to be able to speak and communicate it to somebody else. If you're missing either one of those, so then you're going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Hakel. And consequently, whoever exempt from the mitzvah of Hakel is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Adkan. So when all said and done, in other words, the Gemara asked the question, Maishna, why is it different by Re'iyah? And the answer is a drasha, meaning the Gemara doesn't give a svara, but there's a drasha that in order to be chayv in the mitzvah of Re'iyah, even though it's funny, the mitzvah of Re'iyah is to see, but now we're saying included in seeing, you also have to have the ability to speak and to hear. Continuing in the Gemara.
Or to hear.
Right? Yeah, no, you have both. You need both. For the mitzvah of Re'iyah, you need both. Right? Just like by Hakel, you need both. Okay. But as the Gemara points, that's an anomaly. It's an anomaly in halacha. They're normally obligated in mitzvahs. Okay. Amar Rabbi Tanchum. Cheresh ba'azno achas, pater min ariyah. Okay, now the Gemara is going to get very detailed in terms of exemptions. Let's say you can only hear out of one ear. Okay? Hearing loss is common. It happens to most of us. And here the Gemara describes somebody who loses all of his hearing in one ear but is able to hear in the other ear. So cheresh ba'azno achas pater min ariyah. So such an individual is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Riyah Shenamar be'aznehem. It says in their ears. Now again, what you could have done with this pasuk is you could have just simply said be'aznehem means, well, look, we're talking about the group of the Jewish people, the gathering of the Jewish people. So it doesn't necessarily mean that we're talking about the ears of every individual. You can see Tosfos, by the way, where the Yushami entertained such an idea. Okay, but the Rabbi Tanchum says that, no, as a drasha we understand that in order to be chayv in the mitzvah of Hakel, you need to be able to hear in both ears. So the Gemara says, well, don't I need that pasuk? Meaning that the pasuk is telling me, not a specific halacha that everyone has to be able to hear out of both ears, but maybe the Torah is telling me that everyone needs to hear, period. Meaning that the king's going to read the Torah on the mitzvah of Hakel, and I don't know, it's some feat, right? This is before microphones, and he's got to say it loud enough so that everybody can hear the king himself. Right? No one can hear it secondhand. Everyone's got to hear directly from the king. So the Gemara says, Mineged Kol Yisrael Nafka. So the Gemara says, we have a pasuk that teaches us. The pasuk says, Neged Kol Yisrael, opposite all of Israel, meaning that everyone's got to hear it directly from the king. Ima Neged Kol Yisrael, Hava Minafa Gavdalo Shmirei. So the Gemara says, well, if I only had Neged Kol Yisrael, I would have thought, they have to be standing there, but they have to actually hear it. So the Gemara says, that's the Aznehem. Aznehem is coming to tell me that not only do they have to stand in proximity to the king, but they also have to hear the king as well. So the Gemara says, the fact that everyone has to hear is Laman Yishmo. That already tells me that everyone has to hear. So now we have the Aznehem. It's extra, superfluous. What is it coming to teach us? That in order to be chayv in the mitzvah of Hakel, you have to be able to hear out of both of your ears. If you're not able to hear out of both of your ears, so then you have an exemption, you have a patur from the mitzvah of Hakel. Amar Rabbi Tanchum. Another halacha by Rabbi Tanchum. Chigar baragel achas patur min ariyah. If, let's say, one leg works and the other leg does not work. So you're chigar baragel achas. So you are exempt from the mitzvah of ariyah. Okay, alila regal. Shenamar rigalin. Every time the Torah describes regal, it says regalim in the plural. Now again, regalim, in the simple pshan, the pasuk is a reference to yantif. Mm-hmm. But part of the definition of yantif is, you walk. You walk up to Yerushalayim, you walk to Har HaBayis, you walk to the Azara. And the fact that the Torah uses it regalim in the plural means that both of your legs have to be functional. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's another exemption generated from the word regalim, and that is balei kabim. What's balei kabim? An amputee with prosthetics. Okay, we discussed this back to Masech LeShabbos, that even back then, they had some version of prosthetics. Someone who, Rachmanel's son, for whatever reason, had amputated legs, amputated feet, so they had some version of prosthetics. You could look at Rashi over here, who gives a description of what the prosthetic looked like. But basically, such an individual, even though he can walk, is exempt from the mitzvah of Alila Regal, because Alila Regal means that you have to have feet. So the Gemara says, and we know that from the word regalim. So the question now is on Rabbi Tanchum. Rabbi Tanchum says that in order to be chayav in the mitzvah, both of your legs have to work. How do I know that? The word regalim. The Gemara says, what do you mean? I need the word regalim already for another drasha, and that is that you have to have feet. If you don't have feet, and you don't have legs, and you're an amputee with prosthetics, so you're going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Alila Regal. So how mi pa'amim navka? So the Gemara says, no, the fact that you have to have feet, that already is coming from another pasuk, and that's the word pa'amim. Right? Shalosh pa'amim. And interesting that the word pa'amim is actually a reference to feet. How do I know that? Shedetanya. Pa'amim ain't pa'amim ela regalim. Or raglayim. Right? The word pa'amim is a reference to your legs and your feet. V'chenu omer. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yeshayahu. Timasena regal raglay ani pa'amei dalim. So you see in this pasuk in Yeshayahu that the word pa'amim is a reference to the legs and feet. V'omer, and we have another pasuk, Adishir Ashir, Mayafu pa'amayich, bin na'alayim bat nediv. Another pasuk in Shir Hashirim indicating that the word pa'amai is a reference to legs and to feet. So we already have a pasuk for legs and feet, so that means that the amputee is not going to be obligated in the mitzvah of re'iyah. What are we doing with the pasuk of regalim? Teaching us that in order to be chayav in the mitzvah, even if you have two legs, they have to be two functional legs. They both have to work. If one of your legs don't work, so then you are not obligated in the mitzvah of alila regal. Darash Rava Maidichsev. Okay? Yeah, that's right. That's the assumption. Okay, from this point going forward for the rest of today's daf, fascinating. Gemara coming up, a lot of Agadita. And the segue that gets us from the halachic portion of today's daf, which we just concluded, to now the Agadic section of today's daf, is Rabbi Tanchum. Rabbi Tanchum is our big link, because, I'm sorry, right now, not yet. The Rabbi Tanchum was quoted already twice, and then Rabbi Tanchum quoted a pasuk from Shir HaShirim. So the Shir HaShirim pasuk is the link now that brings us from the halacha back now to the Agadita. So Darash Rava Maidich Siv Mayefu Pamach Menalam Bas Nadib, quoting the pasuk of the Shir HaShirim. So the Shir HaShirim of the Gemara always explains Bedarch Drush, right? Not the literal pshat, but the Gemara always goes deeper in the pasukim Shir HaShirim. So now quoting the pasuk, Kama Na'im Raglayim Shei Yisrael. How beautiful are the legs of the Jewish people? B'shasha olam l'regel, and the time they make alila regel, meaning you want to see Jews in their beauty. So look at the time of alila regel. Okay, it's only been a short 2,000 years since we've done the mitzvah of alila regel. But if you want to see really the Jews looking as good as they do, that's the time to look. Bas nediv, what does that mean? What's that part of the pasuk referring to? B'shasha Avram Avinu. We are the daughter of Avram Avinu. Okay, in other words, the in this drush, the way we are typified is that we are descendants of Avram. Shenikra Nadiv, he's the ultimate donator. Avram is the donator. Why give him that expression, that term? So if you took a look at Rashi, Rashi says Shenikra Nadiv Al Shem Shenidva Libo LaHakir Baro. He donated his heart. Right, money is easy to donate. It's right. It's when. You yourself, that's the harder part to donate. And that's what Avram did. He gave up himself. He was a nediv. He totally invested himself into Akash Baruch Hu. He's called the ultimate nediv, and that's why in this drush, when we're describing the Jewish people doing Alila Regal, Bas Nediv, we are the children of Avram Avinu, who was the ultimate nediv. So Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Yaakov. The Gemara says, funny that we're focusing on Avram. We have two other patriarchs. So he was the first of the Gerim, meaning he really gave himself up for monotheism, for Yiddishkeit, so for Torah, for, you know, for starting the Jewish people. So we are in this regard, Alila Regal brings us back to Avram Avinu. Okay, another statement. Here we go. Another statement by Rabbi Tanchum. Not related to our discussion, but as Rashi over here points out, it's Rabbi Tanchum. We had Rabbi Tanchum earlier, so we're going to quote all the Rabbi Tanchums. I don't know about all of them, but yeah, you understand. The pasuk says, "My dechsev aborekem b'mayim." So Yosef was thrown into a pit, right? Reuven's big suggestion to the brothers is, "Let's not kill him. We'll throw him in a pit." The Torah tells us that Reuven's plan was later to go ahead and to fetch him. Haborekem b'mayim. The Torah, when describing the pit, uses somewhat of a superfluous language, where it says that the pit was empty. And by the way, there was no water. Sounds redundant. Obviously, if it's empty, it doesn't have water. So, okay, it doesn't have water, but it has snakes and scorpions. Okay, good. Okay, perfect. I'm looking forward to where I hear a word, I hear a pshat, where like I totally understand what the point is, meaning. Rabbi Tanchum is saying that the pit they threw him had snakes and scorpions, and that makes it good, that makes it bad, that right. It's difficult to understand what the point is. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Rabbi Lazar ben Chasma Shahachul Apol Pnei Rabbi Yoshua Bipikim. Okay, and here we go. The Gemara is now going to quote, this is the Tosefta, right? You can see on the side, it's found in a number of other Midrashic sources. It's found in Mechilta, Avos to Rabbi Nasan. Okay, I would say it's a famous story. I mean, famous because it's in the Gemara in Chagiga, on the third daf, second daf, daf Gimel. But also, in other words, it's obviously cited in a number of other sources as well. This is a long citation of the Gemara of this Medrash. And the reason why it comes up right now, the answer is very simple, Hakel. You'll see what I mean later on as we go through the episode, we go through the incident. But this will take us through really most of the rest of today's daf. Let's begin. Two Tanayim go visit Rabbi Yoshua in the town of Pekin. Amarlem Machidosh Haya Bebeis Medrash Hayom. And so the conversation, a very simple one, starts off with, what did you learn in Beis Medrash today? So Amru Lo, so when they were asked the question, what did we learn in the Beis Medrash today, so they did not want to answer. And so what they do is they just simply, they don't move the topic to another discussion, but they certainly are resisting from giving an answer. Later, when we do a little bit of analysis on the story, they were going to ask the question, why wouldn't they just simply say what's going on in the Beis Medrash? It's a pretty innocent question, and not just an innocent question, but it's a positive question. So why weren't they ready to give an answer right away? Later we will ask that question, later we will give an answer. Amru lo, they say to Rabbi Yoshua, Tamidecha anu, umimecha anu shotim. We're your students, we drink your water. Meaning, how can you ask us what we learned today in the Beis Medrash? You're the Rebbe, you're Rabbi Yoshua. Well, who are we to tell you what we learned? So Amar Lahem, Afapikin, Yevshala Beis Medrash, Belo Chiddush. Rabbi Yeshua's not arguing. You're right. I am Rabbi Yoshua. I understand that. But still, you're in the Beis Medrash today. Ain Beis Medrash Belo Chiddush. Something had to have been said. Some novel idea. In other words, I'm ready. I'm ready to hear what was said today in the Beis Medrash. Shabbos Shalmi Aisa, and then the Gemara asks the famous question of Shabbos Shalmi. Right? You remember the Gemara back in Brachos, Gemara in Brachos, Chaf Zion. Right? Thereabouts. Above. Anyway, the Gemara Brachos brought down the episode of Rabbi Gamliel and him being deposed from his position. Okay, the Gemara over there, without going into any great detail, but basically Rabbi Gamliel was deposed, and so they were looking for a new candidate for being the Nasi, for being the leader of the Jewish community. And it was hard. They searched around for the correct candidate, and a number of people were suggested, a number of people were rejected for various reasons, and finally they got to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He was a great candidate. The only problem was is that he was really young. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah at the time was 18 years of age, and hard to imagine putting an 18-year-old up as a Nasi Zed. But that was really his only shortcoming, meaning short of his age, he was a perfect candidate. He went home to his wife. He asked his wife what he should do. His wife said, don't do it. Right, really not a good idea, because if Rabbi Gamliel was deposed, imagine what's going to happen to you. Right, it's not a good idea. Despite his wife's suggestion, he goes back and he accepts the position as a Nasi, and then she was right. After some time, they realized this is not just not right. What we did to Rabbi Gamliel, we deposed him. So basically, but at the same time, we did elevate Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So what they did is they created a system of a dual nasi, where it was going to be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Gamliel. And what they would do in terms of giving the drasha and shul is they would alternate. So one Shabbos would be Rabbi Gamliel. Well, I don't know. I don't think it was 1-to-1 ratio. Right? It was 2-to-1? Okay. Oh, actually, I should remember this better. Anyway, so what they alternated, and so Rabbi Gamliel would give the drasha, and then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave the drasha, and whatever the ratio was, 2-to-1, 3-to-1? Okay, whatever. Whatever the ratio was, so that's how they worked it. And so, you know, it's like our chabur is here in the shul. Like, in other words, you want to know, who's saying the drasha this week? So that's the, and that was the famous question of Shabbos Shalmi. Like, whose Shabbos does it belong to? Was it Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah or was it Rabbi Gamliel? So it happens to be that the answer over here was Shabbos Shalom Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Haisa. Okay, so number one, who spoke? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah spoke. Number two, Rabbi Haisa, Haggadah Hayom. So Rabbi Yehoshua says so new. So what did he say? What was the drasha? Amru lo beparshas hakel. And this is why right now in Chagiga Daf Gimel we're telling over the story because it has to do hakel. 3-to-1? Thank you. Thank you. So beparshas hakel. So it says regarding the mitzvah of Hakel that everyone comes. So men, women, and children. So now the men are coming because of limud. You got to learn. And nashim ba'as lishmoa. And women are coming to hear. Okay, now that's not subtle. Or at least I don't think it's subtle. Meaning that you see that men are coming to learn, women are coming to hear. Why doesn't it say women are coming to learn? Meaning aren't they doing limud as well? So interesting, Tosfos over here, I'm sharing. Nashim Lishmar, Tosfos says, Amar B'Yushami Delo Keben Azai. So Tosfos says, according to Yushami, that this is not in accordance with Ben Azai, because the Amar Chayev Adam Lomo Bito Torah. Ben Azai says that there's a mitzvah of Limud Torah when it comes to daughters as well. And so when this Bryce over here says, quoting Rav Elazar ben Azariah, right, men to learn and women to hear, it means that this Bryce is not going like Ben Azai. Right, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a contemporary to Rabbi Akiva, who was also contemporary to Ben Azai. We learned earlier in Shas, I don't remember where, we learned earlier in Shas that Ben Azai was a student of Rabbi Akiva, but then ends up becoming a colleague of Rabbi Akiva. Right, where the Gemara's description was he was a Talmud Chaver, right, a student who turns into a colleague. So okay, they were all in the same tkufa, in the same time period. And so Tosfos points out over here that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is not siding with Ben Azai because the women are not coming to learn Torah, they're coming to hear. Okay? So, ma taf lama bain. So good. So I understand why the men are instructed to come here for Hakel. I understand why the women are instructed to come for Hakel. Children? That's funny. You could have said the mitzvah of chinuch. But the Gemara is going to give, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is going to give another understanding. Kedelitein schar lemivi ehen. You know why you bring the children? It's interesting. Having nothing to do with the children themselves. Okay, right? Again, you could have argued chinuch. Okay. Elazar ben Azariah says no. In other words, when you schlep your children, so you're schlepping your children. And so more schar goes to the parents for schlepping the children, and that's why there's an instruction to bring the children. Okay. That's again, one more Tosfos for today. The another interesting Tosfos. The alzeh samchu lahavik tanim bebeis haknesses. Okay, bringing your children to shul. Oh, I know we could spend the rest of the day talking about this topic. We could spend a lot of time talking about this topic. But Tosfos says, but the minhag is to bring children to shul. Okay, why? Well, look what the Gemara just said. Meaning, for the children themselves, who knows what they're getting out of it? But schalim ivayhem. Now, of course, there's a mitigating concern, and that is they're going to disturb other people, and that is a very serious concern and one that should be taken very seriously. But right now, I'm not. My job right now is not to give any type of, social commentary. Just it's interesting.
For the children for Haikel, do they have any criteria as to whether carry hold the father's hand?
Usually, the word taf. In this context, is referring to children of any age. Meaning, as opposed to Re'iyah, where there we were filing it under chinuch. When you file something under chinuch, so you have to talk about developmental stages. and certain developmental abilities. Here,
you mean a baby?
That's certainly the sense you get, and certainly you get that sense when the Gemara says, "And what's the point of bringing them?" Meaning, so the parents get more reward. Okay, so meaning they're not getting anything out of it, but even though the parents are getting more reward, it's that's not even because the parents are getting more reward. Therefore, it's a mitzvah. Okay. So now, Amar lachem, argolis tova haisa biyachem v'kshet lav dami meni. Rabbi Yeshua says, what a beautiful pshat. Meaning again, the two Tanaim told Rabbi Yeshua what was said in the Beis Medrash by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. They did repeat what they heard. And Rabbi Yeshua says, that was beautiful. And you almost held it back for me. Meaning when I first asked you to say it over, you said, nah, you excused yourself. We can't teach you. And meanwhile, look at that. That was beautiful. The Odarash. And good. You like that one? I got more. So they here we go. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah continued. As Hashem Amarta Yom, we praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The word Hamarta Rashi says over here that it's a lashon of shevach. It's all right. We praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Hamiracha Hayom, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu praised us. So we're praising each other. Amram Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Atamas Yisuni Chativa Achas Baolam. You made me one chativa, right? Literally one bundle. One. You made me a unique praise. And I say the same regarding you. I make you unique. So, in what way? How does that manifest? How do we make Akash Baruch Hu unique? That's easy. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We declare the singularity of Akash Baruch Hu. And I'm going to do the same in kind regarding you, the Jewish people. Umi ka'am chayisor goy echad ba'aretz. You're goy echad. You're a unique nation. V'afu pasach v'darash. Now, Rashi over here says, V'afu, meaning, and even him, so you could have said that what's the pshat in the Gemara now is, now we're talking about Rav Yehoshua. Meaning Rav Yehoshua hears this drasha, it's a beautiful drush, and he says, Rashi says, no, this is still going back on Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Right, so, and you'll see later on, it seems clear that that's in fact so. V'afu darash, and he also darshens as follows. V'afu pasach v'darash. Divrei chachamim kedar barnos ukemismeros netuim ba'alei asufos nanu meiro echad. Pasuk towards the end of Kohelas, where it describes that the words of the chachamim are like darbarnos. Darbarnos, that's the thing you hit the animal with, right, in order to steer the animal. The mismaros, that's nails. So the words of the chachamim are like the sticks that you hit the animal, and like nails. And the Bale Asufos Nitnu Mero Echan, it was all given from one shepherd. Okay? The Gemara now is going to explain each section of this Pasuk in Kohelas. Lama Nimshala Dibre Torah Darban. Okay, first of all, Torah is compared to a stick that steers the animal. So the Gemara says, Lama Lachama, Darban Zeme, Chavanes Apar, Latamaha. Perfect analogy. Because what does a stick do when it comes to an animal and the plowing of the field? It keeps the animal on the straight and narrow. And so that when he goes through the furrow, he goes straight through the furrow and doesn't make a right or left turn. And why? Because with a good plow, you're going to till the land, make it fertile, plant, and provide life for this world. So and that's what the Torah does. The Torah goads us, steers us into the path that is a straight and narrow, and so that we enjoy chayim. So the Gemara says, now on one hand, the analogy is good, but it's a little bit lacking. Because when you talk about a stick is metaltel. It's totally movable. Pick it up, take it out, right? There's no stability in it. So the Gemara says, mismaro. That's why you have the next analogy in the Pasuk, and that is the Torah being compared to a nail. Tamalom mismaro is the imam mismaro there. I'm sorry. Tamalom mismaro. Good. So that's the reference to a nail. A nail, like its name indicates, it's nailed. It's secured. It's stable. It stays. So that's what we gain from the analogy of the nail. So the Gemara says, "Imam ismarzeh chaser v'lo yaserv divrei Torah chaserim v'lo yaserim." Yeah, the Gemara says, but even the nail analogy still a little bit lacking, because when you stick a nail into, when you hammer a nail into the wall, so what does a nail do? All it does is it creates an abscess. Right, it doesn't. It's chaser, but it's not yaser. It doesn't create more. All it does is create abscess. And the Gemara says, and that's what the Torah does. So Tamalam and Nituim. That's the next analogy in the Torah, in the pasuk in Kohelis, and that's like it's like a plant. Manatiyas of the Torah parin veravin. So just like the plant multiplies and grows, and so does the Torah. Torah grows as well. So bale asufos. The next part of the pasuk in Kohelis describes people who are collectors. What does that mean? Elo tamid chacham shiyoshem asufos asufos. They're like in gatherings. Va'oskim b'Torah. And they're involved in the study of Torah. And here's where it gets strange. Now, one group of people say, you know, we think in such a scenario, it's tummy. Another group says, no, we think it's tahor. Talking about the same thing. And halal osim halal matir. And some groups say it's prohibited, and some groups say it's mutter. Halal posim halal machshir. And some say it's posel, some say it's kosher. Right? It's strange. So, shema yomar adam hechan ulim etorah mi'ata. Tamalomar. So now a person's going to say, well, that's funny. Meaning, what is this? Right, what kind of Torah is this where people are looking at the same thing and arriving at opposite conclusions? So, Tamalomar, Kulam Ninu Miroa Echad. That's the punctuation of the Pasuk in Kohelis. They were all given from one shepherd. Kel Echad Nasnan, Parnas Echad Amran. One HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, and one Parnas. Right, probably a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the one who said over the Torah. So in other words, it all comes from a single source. So now it's all given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that's of course interesting. It doesn't fully answer the question. Question was, how can people arrive at different conclusions? Gemara says it all comes from one source. Okay, good. Meaning, perfect. But right. Eilu ve'eilu, but doesn't really answer the question. So, but af ata asay eznecha ka'ar pacheses ukenelacha leiv meivin l'shmo is divrei mitamim viz divrei mitarim is divrei osim viz divrei matirin is divrei posim viz divrei machshirin. And what our job is to make our ears like a collector, right, like a hopper, and basically it's all going to go in all the positions, all the opinions. And then what we're supposed to do is, with the best of our understanding and the best of our ability, hear everyone's position and arrive at a conclusion. Okay. Very, very interesting drusha based on the pasuk in Kohelis. Right? They write, we have a concept of Eilu ve'Eilu. Eilu ve'Eilu, last week's parsha was Kiseitse. Go back two parshiyos ago to Shoftim, where we have the Issa and the Torah of Lo Sasur. Right, the Chachamim tell you something, don't deviate from what they say to the right, to the left. And Rashi over there says, even if they tell you the right is left and the left is right, you still got to listen to them anyway. If you have time, take a look at the Kli Yakar over there in that Pasuk, where he goes into a long description. He quotes our Gemara right here in Chagiga, and he goes into a long discussion of how the Torah is not some sort of monolithic slab. It's multifaceted. There are different ways and perspectives of looking at the Torah. He quotes our Gemara over here, and that, okay, in other words, it all comes from one source. It's just different perspectives, how you look at it, and everyone who's looking at it from a different perspective may arrive at a different conclusion. Okay, good. So that's everything that was reported from the two Tanaim to Rabbi Yoshua, all in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. B'lashon hazeh amar lahem, Rabbi Yeshua heard all this, all the drushes, it goes all the way back to the previous Amud, right, about 20 to 50 lines from the bottom of the Amud, with Maisa. So now when Rabbi Yeshua hears all this, he says, as long as we have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in our generation, it is not a Dor Yosom. It's not an orphan generation, and he loved it. So we're going to just finish up today's daf with the following, and that is, when Rabbi Yeshua originally asked these two Tanayim to go and to repeat what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said in Shir, so their original response was, you're the Rebbe, we can't say anything. And what the Gemara now wants to know is, V'lemer le'behedja. Why didn't they tell him right away? Why did he have to prod them? So, Mishum Maisa Sha'ayi, the Tanayim, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. It's based on the following episode. And so, one more incident for today. Maisa Rabbi Yosef ben Dur Maskiya Cha'alach Lachlop and Rabbi Eliezer Balud. So, a visit to Rabbi Elazar. So the question was, okay, you were in the Beis Medrash today. What did you hear in the Beis Medrash today? Now this story obviously took place beforehand. So without hesitation, he answered right away. We had a vote today in the Beis Medrash, And the vote was Amnu Moav Maaser Maaser Ani B'Shvius, that Amnu Moav are going to take off Maaser Ani in the Shemitah year. Now we know that in the Shemitah year there is no Trumas or Maasers. Everything is Hefker. Everything belongs to everything belongs to nobody.
Why would Amnu Moav be required to do anything?
Right. So good. That's hold that question. I'm going to answer in just a moment. The Gemara is going to answer in just a moment. So Amar Lo. So this is now what Rabbi Yossi told Rabbi Elazar in terms of what they discussed today in the Beis Medrash. So Amar Lo. So when Rabbi Elazar heard this, he said to Rabbi Yossi, "Pshot yadecha v'kibal einecha." Right. Put your hands out and right. It's an interesting expression. Right. Literally, take your eyes, cover your eyes, meaning you're going to get punished from Shemayim for saying such a thing. So Pasha Yadav Kibaleinov, and he lost his vision.
What did he say that was so?
So what did he say? Good, perfect, excellent. What did he say that was so offensive? Bacha Rabbi Lazar Amar Sod Hashem LeRav Abriso LaHodiam. So Rabbi Lazar says, look, Sod Hashem LeRav. The secrets are told to people who fear Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu passes his covenant on to those who fear him. Amro lechem or lehem al techashula minyanchem, kach mekubanim erev yokem ben zakai, sheshama mirabo, virabo mirabo, hilchasa lamoshe misinai, amnamov maasun meister ani bishvias. He says, you know what the problem with their psak was? It wasn't an original psak. Rabbi Yochem ben Zakkai heard it from his Rebbe, and his Rebbe heard it from his Rebbe. And a masorah that goes back, says Rashi, all the way back to Anshe Knesset Hagadola, which is the beginning of Bayit Sheni. That Amnu Moav, when they came back to build the second base of Mikdash in Eretz Yisrael, so by design, they kept Amnu Moav out of the settled Eretz Yisrael and did not invest it with Kedusha. And for one purpose, the Gemara now is going to explain. Matam har bekrachim kafshu ole mitzrayim below kafshu ole bavo, minesh kedusha rishona kishla shaita below kishla asilavo. In other words, we know that the Kedusha Rishona, although imbued into Eretz Yisrael, is not permanent, but was temporary. And so when they came back, they had an option of which lands to imbue with Kedusha and which lands not to. They decided by design not to imbue the Amnu Moav, by the Transjordan, with Kedusha. And that was planned. And the reason why that was planned is so that there would be food during the Shemitah year. Meaning they knew that Shemitah was going to be a struggle, and so therefore they left lands unsanctified, unconsecrated, so that during those years they could use those lands to support the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why Rabbi Yossi was so angry the reason why Rabbi Elazar was so angry with Rabbi Yossi is because Rabbi Yossi made it sound like in the Beis Medrash, you know what we did today? We voted today, and we ruled. What do you mean today? That don't take credit for something that was done years ago, generations ago. So, and as a result of that, so Rav Yossi was punished and he lost his sight. And that's why when the two Tanaim came in to Rabbi Yoshua and they said, well, what happened to the Beis Medrash today? The last time that question was asked and answered, it didn't go so well. Footnote and to the story Tana, we learned in a Braisa. And so the Gemara, as an end note, says that he davened that Rav Yossi get his set returned, and his set was returned.